We're ready to go? On three, one, two, three. One more time, one, two, three. Okay, we're ready. That's good. You need to stand up a second, kind of stretch out a little bit. Why don't you do that? Before we get going here, why don't you stand up, stretch. So you won't be sitting too long at one given time. Stand, stretch. Oh, man. Reach out to the person in front of you, beside you there. Give them a little back rub right there on the neck. Hey, if you love this snow, say snow.
Snow!
How many of you, this is the first time you've ever even seen snow? Where are you guys from? That's really sad. Pitiful. That's pitiful. Y'all have lived a sheltered life. We're glad we could help you out. See snow this week, man. All right, sit down there. Yesterday we talked about our destiny, our future, where our life is going in the long run of things. You're a junior in high school. You're a senior in high school. It's time to start thinking about those things. We said most people don't ever think about those things. They don't ever understand where they're going. They don't understand because they don't know how to get where they're going because they don't know who they are. And we said when our skills collapse on us, when our relationships fall in on us, because of who we are, our self-worth, we can continue on in life and be successful with our life and know where we're going and what we're doing because we are what? In Christ. Say that with me. In Christ. Yesterday when we talked, we said, hey, what is your dash? That date between the time you are born and the time you die, between those two dates, there's this dash. And the only real value that we have with our lives that's really going to make any difference either in this life or in the life to come is what we do with that dash when we are in Christ. Say it with me one more time. In Christ. And so that's really what we talked about yesterday. And then we said, okay, now in light of that, we have to understand who we are uniquely and what our personality is. And we went in there, we did the personality test, and we got the thing done. And I'm assuming that you learned some things about yourself. And if you got any questions you want to ask me or your group leader or whatever, feel free to do that. Now, in light of that, this morning we want to continue on with that conversation from yesterday. So let's just pause right here, ask the Lord to speak to us, and then we'll go on, okay? So let's just all pray this prayer together. We'll pray it out loud. You can bow your head. You don't have to bow your head. You can look up. You don't have to always bow your head. You can pray anytime you want to. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, speak to me about who I am, where I'm going, and how I'm going to get there. Begin to show me my purpose for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now watch. Listen to this. Lloyd's Bank of London followed 100,000 paper clips, and they observed that only about 2,000 of those paper clips were actually used to hold papers together. The bank said that 14,163 others were bent or twisted during telephone conversations. 19,143 were used as chips in card games. 7,200 clipped together garments. Think about it. 5,434 became toothpicks and ear scratchers. 5,308 were converted into nail cleaners. 3,916 cleaned pipes. The rest, about 25,000, fell ingloriously to the floor and were swept away. And then the comment was made here, how could something so neatly invented and so useful be so misused and often at least seemingly wasted? And that's what we want to ask ourselves this morning. You know, you're see yourself here as a paperclip. I mean, are you being used for the purpose for which you were created? Paper clips, obviously used to clip papers together. Those other uses might have been useful, but it wasn't what the thing was invented for. Might have looked good, but not what it was invented for. See, how could something so useful be so wasted? And the question we want to ask ourselves about ourselves this morning is, hey, if we're in Christ and we're so useful, how could our lives get wasted, flushed, used in the wrong kind of way? See, here's the question we want to ask ourselves. Are we picking teeth, scratching ears, holding together garments when in fact God has called us to do something so much greater than that as our purpose in life? And most of us settle for the something that's less than God's best. So the question we want to ask ourselves this morning is this question. Yesterday we addressed the who am I question. Today we want to address the where am I going question. Where am I going? Where am I going? Let me just ask you this question right here. What do these things have in common? Think about this a minute, okay? What do these things have in common? Dating. Who I'll date? Will I ever date? We ask ourselves those questions, right, all the time. Who am I going to date? Will I ever date girls? Will anybody ever ask me? Guys, will I ever get the courage to ask a girl out? Because I'm so retarded. I'm not sure I can get on the phone and do that. You know, and so we ask ourselves these questions all the time. You know, who am I going to date? Will I ever date? We ask ourselves things, we look at our friendships and we say things like, you know, who will my friends be? Who do I want my friends to be? Why can't I have this person to be my friends? Sex, will I have it now or will I wait? How far is too far? Should I go? How far should I go in this whole issue of my sexuality? My activities, what kind of parties do I go to? What kind of social things am I involved in? Why do I do those things? Job, what kind of job will I get now? What kind of job will I have later? College, where will I go to college? What will I major in? What will I do when I get there? Money, how can I have some now? How can I make it? How can I save it? How can I spend it? What am I going to do with it once I get it? We ask ourselves these questions all the time. These are things that are very real to our lives. Now let me ask you this question. What connection do all these have together? What connection do they have? Huh? What connection do they have? You may tell you? None! They have no connection. You know why? Because we don't know where we're going. And when you don't know what your purpose is, none of these things connect to anything. You're just going on a date. You're just having sex or not having sex. You're just going to this party or not going to this party. You have no reason for those things. You just got this job. Why? Because I got to make a little money to get some money to get a CD. I've got to get a walk. I've got to get a CD player, whatever. You're doing these things, but none of them ever connect to anything. And so what do? You get stuff going here. No connection whatsoever. Because you don't know where you're going. So here's our destination. You don't know what it is? Yesterday we said that our destiny is to be in Christ. Who are we? We are, say it with me, in Christ. And when we've invited Him to come into our lives and we have a relationship with Him, then we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Now, how are we going to get to the destination? How are we going to answer the question, where am I going? How are we going to discover what our destination really is and our purpose in life? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And you will find in Ephesians chapter 1 yesterday where we found 11 times that it was mentioned that we are in Christ. You will find 3 times this phrase. I'm going to say it and then I want you to say it after me. To live to the praise of His glory. Say that. To live to the praise of His glory. Out loud, all together. To live to the praise of His glory. One more time. To live to the praise of His glory. Now, look here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It says, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has given to us freely in the one He loves. Turn over to verse 12. In order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. And then down to verse 14. And at the end of the verse it says, to live to the praise of His glory. He repeats that three times. And what Paul is saying is this, is that once you know who you are, and you are a person who is what? Say it all together now. Then once you understand that you're in Christ, then the goal is to live to the praise of His glory. That's your destination. That's your purpose. That's God's plan for you, to live to the praise of His glory. Say it with me. To live to the praise of His glory. In other words, the idea is that I am supposed to, in my life, wake up every day and reflect Him. I'm to live in such a way that my, as Stuart said earlier, my what I say and how I live match up together. We're not perfect. Not anybody here is perfect. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about living in Christ and then learning how to live in a way that reflects Him. So how do we do that? Two aspects of this. I want you to, this is a little perspective thing. You with me here? Is everybody with me? If you're with me, say yes. Okay? Two things I want you to see here. To live to the praise of His glory is something in the future. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Look at Revelation 5, 13. Turn over there with me in your Bible. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. This is about the future, okay? One day in heaven, it's going to be like this. This is what's going to happen. We're going to live to the praise of His glory all day, every day, 24-7. This is what's going to be happening. A loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing." And that's what we'll be doing every day in the future. Once we've passed our dash, once they put that final date on the gravestone, then for the rest of eternity, that's what we're going to be doing. So you need to keep the eternal perspective that we're not just living, having a purpose for this life. We're having a purpose also for the life to come. William Barclay said this. He said, "Here is the great truth that the greatest and the highest, the dearest and most intimate experience of Christian peace and joy, which this world can afford, are only faint foretastes of the joy into which we will one day enter. It is as if God has given us enough to just whet our appetites for more and enough to make us certain that one day He's going to give it to us all." I mean, that's a great thing. Boom! Your dash ends today. So, see, the great thing about being in Christ and knowing where you're going, knowing that your destiny is to live to the praise of His glory, is that if it's over today, you're going to live the rest of eternity doing what Revelation 5:13 says, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and might, glory and honor and blessing." However, it's not just future, it's also present. And so what God's desire for us is that we would live answering the question, "Where am I going?" living that out in the present. It's now. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, your translation is not going to be quite like this because I'm quoting from the Living Bible here. But here's what it says about what we're to do in the present, to live to the praise of His glory. Say that phrase with me one more time. To live to the praise of His glory. If we're going to live in a way that reflects Him, here's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. Paul says it this way, "But we Christians have no," watch this now, "but we Christians have no veil over our faces. But we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works in us, we become more and more like Him." Living to the praise of His glory, see? We don't have a veil over our faces, but God, when we come to know Christ, when we're in Christ, He lifts that veil. Now we're mirrors that brightly reflect Him. And as we live out every day, we become more and more, as the Spirit works in us, we become more and more and more just like Him. You follow that? Make sense? Which means then that if you live like that, if you live to the praise of His glory, then God is going to use you for a great purpose. Not only a purpose in eternity, but also that's in the future, the eternal future, but in the now. One man has done that, and there are a lot of other people who have done it as well. People who are known, people who are unknown. Here's one guy who did it. Here's what he writes about in his journal. You probably never learned this in school. But after his ships had been at sea much longer than he had anticipated, this man, his crew was ready. He had three ships and they were all ready to mutiny and go back to Spain where they came from. And so he decided that he would, when they confronted him with this and they wanted to turn back, he asked his crew and his other leadership if they would give him 3 more days. And they said they'd give him 3 more days, and if the wind didn't pick up and take them to their destination, then they were going to turn around and return back to Spain where these men and their 3 ships came from. As soon as he made that request, he went down to the bow of the ship, got on his knees before God and began to pray and ask God to work and move on behalf of his 3 ships and to cast the wind so that the wind would take these ships toward their destination. And as soon as he prayed, the wind picked up and the ships began to move toward their destination. And in 3 days, these 3 ships had sighted land. And Christopher Columbus landed in America. And this is what he writes in his journal. It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. The fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. And if you're following God's purpose, let me assure you, that will happen to you as well. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter and ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. I am a most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy, and they have covered me completely. I have found the sweetest consolation since I made it my whole purpose to enjoy his marvelous presence. For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps. It was simply the fulfillment of God's prophecy. Woo! Ever learn that in school? First grade, second grade, ninth grade, 10th grade? Probably never heard of that before in your life, have you? That's how America was discovered. That's how Christopher Columbus founded America, discovered America. And he did it through living to the praise of his glory. God accomplished his purpose in Christopher Columbus' life, Columbus's life. And in the same way he accomplished his purpose in Christopher Columbus's life, he wants to accomplish his purpose in your life. You may not go down in all the history books, and even if you do, it probably won't be accurate, just like in most cases with Christopher Columbus, it's not accurate. But God knows, and he knows, if you've lived to reflect his glory. He wants you to know where you're going, what your unique purpose is, and he wants you to move in that direction. So, in light of that, let's be practical about that, okay? Let's take that from, hey, you know, who am I? Where am I going out there, somewhere vague out there someplace? Let's bring it down to where we can say, hey, look, when I walk out of my family group this morning, I can say, hey, I know where I'm going. I know that I'm supposed to live to the praise of his glory, but I also know that to live in a way that reflects Jesus Christ and to live to the praise of his glory, I also know what my unique purpose is, or at least I've gotten a start on finding what that is, and I'm going to begin to pursue it with all my heart. Purpose. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? Not for you, Jared, what's his purpose, but for you, what's his purpose, but what's your purpose? Not some vague, wide purpose, but your specific purpose in life. And what we want to begin to do is to narrow that down. We'll start broad, we'll bring it in, okay? Statement from Newsweek magazine a couple years ago. It said, last year, Americans traveled 350 billion miles and never found what they were looking for. You live in a generation of people, adults and kids, who have no clue what their purpose in life is. I come out here in your midst and I say, hey, what's your purpose in life? What's your purpose in life?
Play basketball.
What's your purpose in life? Find a husband. What's your purpose in life? To get to the prom. What's your purpose in life? Work at McDonald's. Oh, great, you know. What's your purpose in life? Go to college. I want to be an engineer. See, that's not who you are, and that's not particularly what God's purpose for your life is. But you know what the interesting thing is? You say, well, when I grow up, maybe I'll find my purpose in life. But you go to your parents who have lived 40, 30, 40, 50 years, and they don't know any more than you know about what their purpose in life is. One of the reasons you don't know is because they don't know. And the truth is, for a long time, I didn't. So let's not be too hard on our parents here, because maybe they don't know to know. But when you walk away here from here, you're going to know what your purpose in life really is. Without purpose, here's what we're like. We're like the West Virginia Turnpike. I grew up at one end of the West Virginia Turnpike. It went from Princeton, West Virginia to Charleston, West Virginia. It was known as the turnpike that started nowhere and ended nowhere. Okay? So if you, I like that. That's good. Everybody on three now. There you go. Now, it's the turnpike that started nowhere and ended nowhere. And for us, that's the way our journey through life is. You know, we're starting nowhere, we're going nowhere. How are we going to get where we're going? See, our purpose is our target. If we miss the target, we miss the entire reason for our existence. Who am I? I am in Christ. What's my destination? To live to the praise of His glory. Say it with me. To live to the praise of His glory. But what's the specific target for you to do that? See, our purpose is what drives us, is what keeps us awake at night, is what wakes us up in the morning, what causes us to jump out of bed and be excited about life and wake up instead of walking into the kitchen in the morning, you know, next Monday morning when you're ready to go back to school. Instead of walking into the kitchen and dropping your face into the cereal 5 minutes before you're supposed to leave and your hair is still all, you got bed hair, as Dave said, you know, and saying, oh man, this is gross, man. You wake up and you're enthusiastic, you're excited, you're fired up about life. Why? Because you know what your purpose is and you're pursuing it. It's what gets us excited. It's what expresses our hopes and our dreams. It's our North Star. It's the thing that drives us and pushes us. It's the thing that's worth dying for. That's what our purpose is. Even though most people don't know what their purpose is or what they're aiming for, that does not have to be true of you. You can locate the target, take aim, and fire. And that's what we're going to do in the next few minutes. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Actually, chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians 3, 8. I want us to look at that for just a minute. And I want you to see what Paul says. This is general. We're starting general now, but we're going to get specific before the morning's over. I want you to see what the purpose is. Paul says, here's what my purpose is for himself. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else pales in comparison. My purpose in life is to know Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes to the law, but which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God and is by faith. Talk about that some more tonight. I want to know Christ, he says. Here's what my purpose is. I want to know Christ. The power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His suffering. So that I might be conformed to the image of His death. And somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul knew clearly what his purpose in life. And in a real sense, our broad purpose is the same as his. If we want to live to reflect His glory, then there'll be two things about Him, and Stuart referred to those earlier this morning. One is to know Him. The other one is to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. Those two emphases really are our basic purpose in life. Let's start with the outer edge, to know Him. See, to what lengths would you go to this morning? If I told you, if I made the announcement at lunch, Michael Jordan's going to be here this afternoon. Or to the girls, if I said to you, Cindy Crawford's going to be here this afternoon. To what lengths would you go to stand in their presence to get that Michael Jordan's autograph, to get Cindy Crawford's autograph, to what lengths would you go to do that? I mean, there'd be people all over this campus that would just absolutely, wherever they were, if they were in Carter Hall in the lobby there, we would all absolutely flock just to get a glimpse of who they are. Just to see them, just to touch them, just to maybe get their autograph. Tell you what, Michael Jordan, Cindy Crawford, pale by comparison to Jesus Christ. You know that. But somehow we kind of lose perspective on it sometimes. One of the great scientists of all times, Blaise Pascal, said this. He said, apart from Jesus Christ, we know not what our life is, nor our death, nor God, nor ourselves. To know Him is more than learn a few simple facts about Jesus. To know Him is not more than reading the Bible occasionally. To know Him is more than having some vague religious experience or a mountaintop experience at Christmas Challenge or joining the church for that matter. To know Him means that I have a personal and intimate and deep daily walk with God. I love Him. I want to know Him. I want my life to count for Him. I want to have a relationship with Him that is deep and real and meaningful. So what we're trying to do here is to aim at the target. Stories told about Leonardo da Vinci. He was one of the great artists of all time. He was painting this picture. It was a picture of the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, which we'll talk about tonight. And there was a group of people, a whole crowd that gathered around because he was a famous painter, and people came to watch him paint. And he was working on the intricate fruit that was on the table, and he was painting that fruit. And he looked up, and he looked at the crowd over here, and he looked at the crowd over here, and he saw that they were all looking down at the fruit. He's already painted the disciples and everything, and they're all looking down here at the fruit. And he reaches over, and he grabs some black paint, and he smashes it against the fruit and obliterates it and covers it up. And he said, don't look down here. Look up here. See, if you're like me, the truth is, pretty much every day, I get caught up looking down here, don't you? You know, I'm looking at the stuff around me. This is what I'm trying to call, get my computer fixed, you know? I'm trying to do all that stuff. And that's important to get that kind of stuff taken care of, to make sure everybody's taken care of because of the snow and so forth. But boy, you know, what's way beyond that? It's knowing Him. Having a personal, intimate relationship with Him. That's the most important thing. Everything else pales in comparison to that intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. He is the target. That's what you're shooting for. You don't know your purpose in life? It centers around Him. No matter what else it is, that if you are in Christ, if that's who you are, and you have come into a relationship with Christ, and you're saying, hey, I know my destination is to live to the praise of His glory, then the target for you, the target is really clear. It's to know Him. To have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, and to make Him known. That's the other half of it, to make Him known. One sculptor was asked one time, how could he possibly make such beautiful figures out of just a big old block of granite or marble? You know what he said? He said, I take a hammer and a chisel, and he says, I chisel away everything. He's going to make a tiger. He says, I chisel away everything that's not a tiger. And I have it. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? See, that's what God's doing in your life. See, how does God take this misshapen, ill-shaped, sinful person that you are and that I am, and how does He carve out of that something that is absolutely beautiful, that people look at and admire, and they say, I want to be like that. That's beautiful. I want to be like that. See, what's going to cause that to happen? It's because you allow God to take His hammer and His chisel and begin to chisel away everything about you that is not Jesus Christ. See, if I say to you, hey, this week we're going to learn how to witness, and when you go back home, you need to go out and tell about Jesus to all your friends at school. There'd be very few takers, because most of us know that we don't know how to express ourselves that way, and our lives don't really reflect Christ that much, so who would listen to us? What I'm saying to you this morning is this,
Is it God's goal for you is this? His purpose for you is that you begin to reflect the tiger that's inside of you. You begin to reflect the Christ that's inside of you. And let him begin to chip, hammer, and chisel away everything that's not Christ. See, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul states his purpose there. To know Christ. And then he says, and the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, the fellowship, the power of the resurrection is the hammer in his hand. And the fellowship of the suffering is his chisel in his hand. And when God starts hammering and chiseling away at your life, through his power working in you, it's great. Through the chisel that he begins to take the sufferings and the disappointments in your life and begin to hammer away at those with those and work on your life, he's using all that stuff to shape you into the person of Jesus. How many of you here this morning have had one major, huge disappointment in your life in the last year? Raise your hand. Big disappointment. You can look back and say, boy, you know, it's just a real disappointment. My parents got divorced, or my boyfriend dumped me, or da-da-da. I had a big disappointment. You know what that is? That's God taking his chisel of disappointment and hurt and pain and he's chiseling away everything that's not Jesus. He's taking the hammer of his power and the chisel of disappointments and suffering and hurts. Boom! He's working away at you to form you into what he wants you to be. So you say, Moa, you know, if I've had disappointments like that, then surely God doesn't love me. No, surely he does love you. See, if you've had some suffering and pain in your life, I mean, my last month in November, I'll tell you about it tonight. My last month in November was just one incredible month of difficulty. But what I want you to see is this. See, it's not that I'm living to reflect his glory, so therefore everything is perfect in my life. Or I know who he is. Who am I? I'm in Christ. And so my whole life is now just one big, happy, great experience every day. No. If I'm going to know him, know the power of his resurrection, and know the fellowship of his sufferings, which is a part of following Christ. He's doing all that for the simple purpose that he wants to make you like him. You know Romans 8:28, don't you? You know that verse? Romans 8:28. All things, even the disappointments and pain, all things work together for good to those who, one, love God. That's what we're talking about here this morning. Who love God and are called according to his what? His purpose. See, if you want to know him and you're following his purpose, then he says, all things are going to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, most of you don't know verse 29. It says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they should be conformed, shaped, like that tiger, hammer, chisel. He's hammering, chiseling away. That they should be conformed, shaped into the image of Christ himself. See that? Where are you going? What's the target? What's the purpose? The purpose is simple. The purpose is to know him, to have a personal, intimate relationship with him, and then through the disappointments, which let me assure you, everybody in life has, whether they're a believer or not a believer. You got disappointments, hurts, and pains in life. And taking those disappointments and saying, God, you know, I'm bringing those together and letting you hammer and chisel my life to make me what you want me to be. Whew. Man. That's great, isn't it? When you say, God, I'll submit to that. I'll submit to the hammer of your power, to the chisel of your suffering. Boom! I'm going to let you work on me every day, chipping away to make me like Jesus. Then you can say, even now, you can say, hey, I know what my destination is. I know what my purpose is. I know where I'm going. I'm committed to letting my life live, reflect the praise of his glory. So, here's the question. What's our destination? Our destination is to live to the praise of his glory. With me. To live to the praise of his glory. So what's my purpose now? My purpose is to know him. Say that with me. To know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. You with me so far? Now, all that is by way of sort of saying, okay, let's lay out an environment here, a picture, a place where you can now say, okay, now in light of all those things, I need to find out what my specific, my unique purpose in life really is. I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. 8 and 9 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith, and not of ourselves, the gift of God. Not of our own works, lest any man should boast. And that's great. It's by the grace of God that he takes us and he makes us, according to verse 10, he is making us into a unique work of art. We are his workmanship, a unique work of art. Each one of us created to accomplish God's purpose in our lives. Watch this now. Watch me. Everybody, look right here. That no one else in this universe can accomplish but you. God can use me to have great influence, but he can't use me to influence those people that he's already got for you to influence, because he's got you there to influence those people. He wants to use me to do some things that only he can do through me, but he wants to use you to do only some things that he can do through you. That's why it's so important to discover what your unique purpose really is. Now, in light of that, how in the world do we do that? How do we do it? The bullseye. How do we hit the bullseye? Here's the target, you know, to know him, to make him known, but then how do I get to that bullseye? My own unique purpose in life. Diane Ross of the Supremes used to sing this song. She says, do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things life is showing to you? Where are you going to? Do you know? And that's what we want to find out, your unique purpose. My son Jonathan, he's 19 now. He was here last year. Some of you were here. But he wrote out his life purpose exercise that we went through with him doing all this stuff about a year or two ago. Just so you'll have some idea as to how this works when you're in high school. And this is what he wrote. He said, to love God with a heart of gratitude, a soul of obedience, and a mind of dependence on him, and to love others as myself by serving them. What's your purpose? As you go further along in life, it probably becomes more specific like mine. Mine is to seek Jesus Christ and to serve him by equipping youth leaders around the world. That's my purpose. So now, what's yours? That's what we want to know. What's yours? What is the difference in one man and another? That's what one man wrote. He said this. He says, what's the difference in one man and another? Here's a man who is dynamically, enthusiastically, vibrantly alive. Everything he does is charged with power. Here's another who droops and drags and meanders through mere existence. The difference is purpose. There is an amazing power in purpose. So, turn over in your books now, your yellow book there. Gold, I believe we call that. Okay? Turn over there. And let's see what page it's on. So the page is on purpose. 45. Page 45. Let me borrow that a second. Page 45. There are five questions that I want you to ask yourself. And I think right here that maybe we put the wrong stuff in here. So I'm going to check. We're going to stop right here. We're going to check and see if we in fact did that. If we did, then I'll give you something else. Nope. Got it right. Here they are. Here are the five questions. You're going to ask yourself these five specific penetrating questions, and then you can jot down notes after each one. It's going to help you kind of broadly define what your purpose is. Here they are. Why do I exist? Number two, when I die, what do I want my friends and family to say about me? What do I want my epitaph to say?
How am I totally unique? What do I feel deeply burdened about? What does God say to me? What does He want me to do? Those five questions. Those are sort of thought questions, and I'm going to give you some time, and you're going to have time in your small group to reflect on those, and then to kind of talk to each other about those. So you're going to take some time to kind of think through those five questions and write those out thoughtfully now. Okay, when you get in your small group and you're talking about through this stuff, I don't want you to just sort of jot down the first thing that comes to your mind. I want you to sit there and think a minute. Say, you know, hey, why do I exist? In light of what Barry said this morning, what is my purpose in life? When I die, what do I want my epitaph to say? What does God have for me? Now, let me just be honest with you, because I don't want to create some unrealistic expectations here. It may be that you sit there the whole time and you really don't know how to answer that question, those questions. And if that's the case with you, that's fine. That's fine. If that's the case, then do two things. One, go back and say, you know, I just want, if nothing else, I want to know Him and make Him known. I want to please God with my life and make sure your relationship with Jesus is clear and right. And then the second thing is this, is if that's the case and you don't really get a lot of, you're saying, hey, I'm not getting too much clarity here. Say, okay, I'm going to take the next 2 weeks, month, 2 months, and I'm going to begin to reflect on that question in my quiet time every day. What's my purpose in life? And say, God, would you just show me what it is? Because it took me about a year to figure out the answer to this question and a few other questions about my purpose, my values, my goals, and so forth. So I'm not expecting you to come up with something, boom, just like that this morning. But I want you to get started on it, okay? I want you to get started on it. Now, here are five instructions, all right? Five instructions. Using these five considerations or these five questions as background, I want you to follow these instructions as you write out your purpose. Here's the first one. You got them written down there. Pray, Lord, show me your purpose for me. Number two, make your purpose statement broad. Just kind of write down, you know, what you think generally your purpose statement is. Don't worry about, you know, how broad it is or how specific or whatever. Just make a broad purpose statement. Realize that this statement should span your entire life. You're not writing down, you know, okay, I'm going to go to college next year. Okay, this is bigger than that. Realize that your statement should span your entire life. Number four, understand that you do not have to express end results or measurable goals. That'll come later. Okay, you don't have to say, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. Okay, that's not important there. And number five, write your purpose statement in three stages. Okay, let me give you those three stages. We're going to walk through those. Write it in any way you want to, making it as long as you like. That's the first step. Okay, you can write a whole paragraph. You can say anything you want to. Just let it flow. Just let it out there. Just write down the things that are coming to you. Answering those five questions that we said, just write. Just let it out. Let it out. Don't worry about, you know, man, I got to get the words right on this right off. Okay, just let it go. Don't think once you write something down, you can't ever change it. Then go back after you've written all those things and look back over what you've written and write and circle the three key words, the three verbs that are the most outstanding there to you. And when you circle those, you'll begin to have the key action points for your purpose statement. Write out the three key words from what you wrote above. Identify the three action verbs that express what you want to do with your life. And then, number three, write a final statement. Express it as one brief, clear, easy to understand sentence. Now, I want you to do all three of those this morning. Even if your purpose statement is not really clear when you get finally in and you're not totally satisfied with it, I want you to get all the way through that exercise this morning. And when you walk out of there, you'll say, okay, I got this one statement. That doesn't mean it's your final statement. It doesn't mean it's the end of everything. It doesn't mean that when you get through this morning that you'll know very clearly, specifically what your purpose is. It might change as you go from down the road here the next month or two or year or two, whatever. It's okay. But you're going to walk away from here this morning having a unique, you're knowing something about your unique and clear purpose to live to reflect this glory, to live to the praise of this glory. So who am I? I am all together now. And what's my destination? To live to the praise of His glory. Where am I going? I'm going to live to the praise of His glory. You with me? And so Paul says that our purpose in life is to know Him and to make Him known. That's our general purpose. Now we're going to go discover in the next little bit, next hour, you're going to discover exactly what your unique purpose is, or we're going to start in that direction. Let's have prayer together, and then you're out of here.